the views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne is brought to you by Northwell Health. Visit them online at northwell.edu. Welcome to Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lorianne Kasdia. Our goal here at Healthy Lifestyle is to inspire, educate, and empower you to fulfill a healthy, emotional, spiritual, and physical life so you can feel empowered to live the life you have always wanted and dreamed. I hope you all are having a great day today and enjoying this beautiful, beautiful weather. And I also noticed that we have a lot of talk about the stock market and financials and things like that. So I thought it would be really, really great to have a friend of mine on who is like the expert in financial advising and consulting. He is the president of RVP2 Consulting, Inc. Roy takes all of his experiences in the financial service world to deliver an experience specifically tailored to his clients' financial goals and has a really interesting, more modern model in financial services than you would usually be accustomed to in the past. And I really want to talk about this new model, and I want to talk about what's going on in the world right now and all the things that are affecting it. So please, welcome to the show, Roy Flager.
Hello, everybody, and thank you, Lorianne, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
My pleasure to have you here. So, it's crazy out there, dude.
Yeah, it's a wild world we're living in. It's absolutely nuts.
Now, typically, before a presidential election, I've noticed in my past, I've been around a couple of years, I've noticed in my past that between September 15th and November, when the elections occur, the market goes like wacko. It's up one day and another day it's nuts, and this is going on and those people are doing this, that, and the other thing. What's going on? Help us understand.
Yeah, well, so I mean, it's certainly a once in a lifetime environment I think we're experiencing. Normally you deal with the typical risks of the market, which is your market risk, your business risk, political risk, liquidity risk. You know, there's a bunch of like things that are just always there involved in the market. But now when you tie in COVID, this election is extremely volatile, as we all know.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's just nuts, and there's so much more to pay attention to, you know, because it's not like a typical year where, you know, the economy might be off slightly for whatever reason. We're dealing with a global pandemic, and it creates a world of uncertainty. And now you have when you're looking at the markets, you know, to some level you can kind of like, when the economy is doing well, you can kind of predict what people will do with their money, you know, and when interest rates are staying a certain way, you have a general gauge of, okay, when, you know, certain dollars will go into the market. But now, especially that people have less time, you're dealing with even like the Robinhood apps and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
You're having a lot of people that are at home and they have small amounts of money that they may have saved up, and now they're putting that into the market. So you also have what they call the Robinhood effect in there. So, you know, it creates a lot more volatility. It creates a lot more uncertainty. And when you're doing things against or away from fundamentals, right? And usually you'd look at a company and say, okay, well, based off of their revenue and their earnings and, you know, the health of their business and their future projections, we might be able to ascertain some level of return and be comfortable purchasing them.
Right.
Today, you don't know what people are doing. You don't know why people are buying it. It could be a video on TikTok that somebody watched that caused a stock to go up.
Isn't that crazy?
And it's nuts. And, you know, Nikola is one of those stocks. If you look at the chart of that stock, it's gained so much social attention that it's been whipsawed around.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes it very
and
difficult.
Amazon just split?
I think it was Tesla and Apple.
Tesla and Apple.
Yeah. So they just split, but you know, it makes it difficult to gauge what to do with your money. You know, the question of I wanna buy some stocks, what do I do? Well, and, you know, my question is why?
Yeah.
You know, why are you buying those stocks?
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's the most important question, because when you don't have a strategy,
right,
and you kind of just jump in there and you're like, oh, I wanna buy Apple, and your answer, and you ask why, and obviously there's some level of return. Obviously the goal is to always make money, but you know, to some extent I find a lot of people are, they think that they could just buy that stock, right, because it's Apple. But then when you take into time horizon the outlook and then the different earnings and the current market environment that we're in, it creates a lot of uncertainty, and there are a lot of people at the same time that are trying to make money, but they're also getting really, really hurt inside of the market.
Stock market.
Stock
buying
market.
Stocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, when I ask the question why, when I'm talking to friends and I'm like, well, you know, help me understand, why'd you buy it? Because now I'm interested. And they're like, well, because my friend George did. And I'm like, wait, what?
You made
a financial decision based on your friend George.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's roll into what you do. So you consult. You have a different model. You're a financial advisor, but you don't tell people what stocks to buy. They could go do that themselves, right?
Right, right. So so me personally, I try to stay away from the individual equities. Now, obviously, I follow that stuff because that's, you know, that's what everybody talks about, and that's usually the great material there. But a lot of what I do for my clients, it's going to be strategic investing, right? Mm-hmm. It's asking somebody why. What are your goals, right? When more often than not, I feel like the normal course of life, most people, they'll sit there, they graduate college, and then they get their first job. Their employer might offer a 401k, so they start putting money into that 401k. Right? And that's what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And then, you know, they're now that they're earning income, their parents introduce them to their accountant, and then their accountant says, oh, you need a Roth IRA. So then they get a Roth IRA. So now they have these two IRAs, and they're putting money into them, and sometimes they necessarily don't know why they're doing that. They just know, like, well, it's a retirement account, so if I put money into it, I'm saving for retirement.
So wait, what's the difference between a 401k IRA and a Roth IRA?
So, yeah, and that's a great question. And, you know, and these are all the types of things that I address. You know, if you Google or search what's the best option, you're going to find billions of articles, and that's probably exaggerated, but you'll find so much information about Roth versus traditional, your 401k versus your Roth 401k.
It just sounded like Carl Sagan, billions and billions of stars, billions and billions of IRA choices.
It gets
confusing. That's why a financial advisor and a consultant is really important, because one, they're taking your whole family situation. So there's a lot of things you take into consideration, right?
Right.
My family, my, you know, who's working, what our income is, do we have a house, do we not have a house, are we renting, do we own, do we have, you know, other liquid assets, right? You take all that into consideration.
Yeah, no.
Whereas when you're Googling it, Mr. Google doesn't know all that information.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, Mr. Google's great for comparing.
Yes.
Comparisons.
Right.
Right, comparing information and data. Right. So you can easily pull up, OK, a traditional IRA, you'll receive a tax deduction up front. But then everything that comes out when you pull it out after when you're in retirement, it's taxable. The Roth IRA, they'll show you, well, there's no tax deduction today, but everything you pull out of it is tax free.
And when you say tax deduction, the first one is pre-tax.
Pre-tax, yep.
In your paycheck.
Yep.
And the Roth is post-tax.
Correct. Exactly. So
you prepay your tax in a Roth.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just use $100,000 income because it's easy math. So you're allowed $6,000 into your Roth and traditional IRA. And it's not either or. That's your total annual. So if you did three and three, that's it. You're done. You can't do six and six.
Got it.
But for that instance, with a traditional IRA, if you were to put in $6,000, mm-hmm. you would only pay taxes on $94,000 of income. With a Roth IRA, you put in that $6,000, you're still going to pay taxes on the full $100,000. So you're not getting that deduction up front. And, you know, and so what I try to do for my clients is answer that why question, you know, like, why are you contributing to a Roth IRA?
Yeah.
And, you know, especially if their tax situation isn't as favorable as it should be. If you have a client that is cutting a lot of checks to the government come tax time.
Yikes.
And they're still putting money into a Roth IRA. So let's take, you know, and I try to give like mathematical examples because I think like the numbers really, really put some light onto what we're talking about.
For numbers, people. Yes.
Yeah, 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 exactly, exactly. So, you know, if you're in the 30%
tax. Am I glazing yet? No.
So, but if you're in the 30% tax bracket and you put in $6,000 into a traditional IRA, mm-hmm. you just saved yourself $1,800 in taxes.
Sure.
So now if you're somebody that's owing a lot of money come tax time, well, if you're cutting that check out of your savings and you get to reduce that, is that more beneficial to your financial lifestyle today rather than getting the tax out free come retirement?
Right.
So if you can save more money over the course of life and that's better for you as an individual and your family and your business, well, then that's the stuff that I look at. I kind of view it like it's the Home Depot, right? Because as an independent financial advisor, I have access to anything under the sun. It's almost every platform and investment we can build. So now it's not leading with, hey, like, look, you know, look at all this, like, you know, bringing my shopping cart over. It's you tell me what you're trying to build, and then we'll go shop, and then we'll go pick the tools and the stuff that we need to put it together.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense, because you actually build a strategy, a plan. Right. So I know, you know, and this is always a thing that I say, too, for marketing and when I'm mentoring, is you don't go on vacation and go, okay, we're going on vacation tomorrow.
Right.
Well, where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean?
Yeah.
So same thing with financial, with any kind of strategy or anything you want to do. You really want to know, okay, I'm going to Italy. Okay. Are we going by plane or boat? Because now we know that you have to go over water. So you have those two options.
And they all require different planning, right?
Yes.
You might not bring a bathing suit if you're flying by plane, but if you're going on the boat, you might, because what if you get wet, you know?
Yeah.
And those are all the...
And it might have a pool on the boat. Who knows?
Yeah,
we
exactly,
don't know.
Exactly.
But, so, yeah, it requires planning. So you have to understand where you're going.
Yep.
To understand what you need to do now. So now I was always taught that there's a certain balance between stock and funds, mutual funds, and having cash money. What is that balance? What is that perfect pie chart that you're looking for?
Yeah, so the perfect pie chart, again, when you try and fill that circle, everybody's circle, right? It's like ordering a pizza. No, mm-hmm. no household is going to order the same pizza, most likely. I mean, sometimes you get cheese and that works for some people, you know, and it's very easy. But when you build that pie chart, it's to me, you got to view it very objectively, and it's understanding each slice, right? So when it's what I try to do is help educate people. So when you put that pie chart, usually the traditional pie chart will have your stocks, mm-hmm. your bonds, and your cash.
Right.
Right. That was your traditional allocation.
Yep.
2008, 2009 came in, and stocks, bond, and cash got punched in the face as hard as everybody else. It didn't hold up.
Right.
So then, so I also work with other investments called alternative investments, which are securities, real estate-backed securities, and other assets that aren't necessarily tied to the stock market.
So what's real estate backed securities?
So it could be a non-traded REIT. So it's basically a portfolio or a fund of an asset class like real estate that is investment, right? It's an investment opportunity. So you can collect a level of income. There could be a growth component to it. But at the same time, it's not going to be exposed to the stock market.
Right.
So it helps by incorporating something non-traditional
right.
into that. And it could be direct real estate as well. I do think real estate's one of the best classes that if you're able to incorporate it in there.
Yeah.
Because it's not correlated to the market. So the more that you can diversify, the better chance you have. You know, like the diversification doesn't protect from losses.
Right.
But it helps mitigate.
Right. Well, the whole thing is you're trying to set yourself up so you're virtually recession proof, which is no such thing.
Right.
So, but if you get closer and make that curve a little less drastic,
yep.
It's easier to look at the statements when you get them. And second, you know, you're making money because you're moving. But that comes with risk, how much risk you're willing to
yep.
take. And so there's an equation for this as well. So the older you get, do you take more risk? Do you take less risk? The younger you are you taking more risk because you have more time to
right.
build your money around? So like my son is 25, he's already in 401k, he has IRAs, he's playing with Robinhood.
Yep.
You know, he has like his little play fund, but
every
month he puts money into his investment portfolio to be split among the funds so that he keeps growing it. But he's in a very high risk area because he's young, he's 25, so
right,
he
right.
can withstand that, right?
Yeah. Well, and so it's funny. So when it comes to plan, right, there's a difference between, you know, in money that you'd invest, right? Because like when you take money that you have on the sidelines and you want to invest that, like your son with Robinhood, right, that's money that he knows, hey, I can take a chance with this.
Yeah,
right? Like
he's just playing with it.
I could have fun with it. I could take the risk that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But when you're investing in your 401k, do you want to be taking those chances, right? Because
no.
that's your retirement. So two of the biggest factors that I think are the most important for people to consider is your time horizon and your risk tolerance, right? Because I know 25-year-olds that regardless of how much time that they have to be invested in the stock market, if they see their account go down more than 5%, they're going to start sweating and panicking. And, you know, and they're like, why is my account doing that? So your risk tolerance, right? It's the ability to open up that statement in the mail. And are you going to go, okay, I get it, I have 20 more years. Or are you going to open that statement and go, oh my God, where's my money gone?
Yeah.
But, you know, because historically the market takes, I think, I forget what article it was, but it takes about 2.5 years on average for the stock market to come back from their lows when we go through a recession or something that's just a, you know, tremendously detrimental to the market.
Right.
So when you're closer to retirement, and this is what we saw a lot in 2008 and 2009. So let's just say you had $1 million saved up. And now,
yeah, let's say that.
Yeah. So,
I like the way that sounds.
So the example I like to give, which is fun to talk through, because sure. I think it kind of paints the picture, right? And I know that you and I, we speak a lot about financial literacy. And I think when you first start out, there's a lot of stuff that you read and a lot of like $1 million always seems like that magic number, right? You talk to a lot of people. It's like, I want $1 million for retirement. And my question is, why is that going to, you know, what if you need less? You know,
right.
What if you need more?
Right. You think by the time of retirement, you already had a house, you sold a house. You don't really need a house anymore. You need a smaller space. You don't need a space maybe for two as opposed to six if you have four kids. A lot of people don't take that into consideration.
Right.
They're looking at their expenses today.
Right. And you're looking at your expenses today, and then you're also trying to project a lifestyle.
Sure.
Right. I mean, you know, most people don't know what they want to do for work when they graduate college very yet. You know, what lifestyle do you want to lead in retirement? You know, do you want to condense? Do you want to move away to a different state and all things like that?
Right.
So a lot of stuff that I like to talk about is, you know, just what are we generally taught? You're generally taught you got to save your nest egg, right? Your nest egg is that's your baby. That's what you're all the money that you're saving. So now, what is your nest egg? Your nest egg is all of the money that you've saved for the future.
Right.
And now what are you supposed to do with that? So I always use this $1 million example. So let's just say you need $50,000 a year in retirement.
Right.
And you've got this $1 million. So now you have 20 years in retirement. So if you retire at 65 and your money's not invested, we know that your money will last till you're 85 because we're going to take 50 grand out a year.
Right.
So we got 20 years. Well, now if you look at 2008, 2009, and you're invested in properly, and the market goes down 40%, your $1 million becomes $600,000.
Yeah.
You just cut your lifetime of retirement down drastically.
Yeah.
So the closer you get to retirement, and that's why time horizon matters so much.
Yep, yep.
Because, and there was I think it was a couple of years ago, it was somebody from American Funds, and they did a study, and I hope the numbers are right. But it was a significant, like it was like almost over 70% of people are misallocated in their 401ks over the age of 60.
Well, let's be honest. We go through school, and no offense to our school districts, both of my parents were teachers, but we're not taught anything about finances there.
No, it's true.
When we go to college, we're not taught anything about finances there unless you go to college for financial like you did.
Yeah.
You know, you went to college specifically for that. You knew you liked money.
From
day one, and you loved organizing this, and you have the brain for it. But we're not taught this. So now we have a family and people say, okay, you need a life insurance policy and you need 401ks, and they start throwing all these numbers at you and stuff like that. And then they say $1 million and you're like, my God, I barely can pay my bills. I'm going paycheck to paycheck. And how am I going to retire? And then we put our heads in the sand because we don't want to deal with it because we don't know how to contend with. What do you do with families like that?
Yeah.
What do you do with people like that? Because that $1 million example is a perfect example. But how do you save when you're going paycheck to paycheck?
Right. No. And that's a great point. And, you know, and I think I'm hopeful that this environment has kind of like brought these discussions to the forefront of what we're doing. Right. Because
we need to be empowered and not.
And
resistance
another,
to stuff like this.
That's another huge thing, right? Because when you have control of your finances, it's empowering. Because finances are one of the biggest stressors in people's day-to-day lives. It's one of the top, I think, three stresses that
people
experience.
It's the number one stress for divorce, by the way. So one
really?
Number one cause for divorce is finances.
And you know, so, and that's why I put so much emphasis on the financial foundation, right? Because it's helping people when something like what I call the God forbid moments, and I joke about it, and you know it, but God forbid somebody drinks bat soup and here we are today. Are you able to hold on and make it through?
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's really important because there are people that you talk to who are like, hey, thank God we're okay. We're making it through. And then there are other people that are like, if I'm not back in work in a couple of weeks, I have no idea
what I'm
going to do.
Yeah.
And you know, so doing the financial literacy and having those conversations, and they're uncomfortable, right? Nobody likes to talk about what you can't afford and what you can't do because of money.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, flipping that switch, because it's not a magic wand. It's discipline.
Yeah.
And it's having the right person coach you through that.
Without a doubt. And it's important to have that uncomfortable conversation, because just having the conversation empowers you.
Right.
So when we're talking about empowerment, having that conversation is necessary. And I really want to continue this conversation in our second half, but we need to take a little break. You are listening to Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. We're here with Roy Flager, who is helping us with more information about our finances. Stay tuned. Come back in. We're going to talk more about what do we do when we are living paycheck to paycheck. And this is the guy you want to talk to when you have questions like that. We will be right back. Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne is brought to you by Northwell Health. Visit them online at northwell.edu. Welcome back to Healthy Lifestyle. I am Lorianne Kazdia. And if you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to hear more about, or you want us to discuss or have guests on, please email us at healthylifestylewithla@gmail.com. And of course, follow us on social media at Healthy Lifestyle with LA. You know, we love hearing from you and love hearing your questions and or seeing your questions as we're doing our Facebook Lives. So that's all exciting. So if you have any guests for Roy today or questions for our guest Roy today. Wow, I'm just reversing my words.
That's all right.
It's all good.
It's Monday.
just please drop them in a private message or drop them in the comments box on Facebook. So Roy, we were talking about financial and what do you do when you're going week to week? Because we're not taught anything about financial literacy. And I know you are doing a video series called Financial Literacy to help. It's like Financial for Dummies. It's like 101 financial. What did you used to call it? It's
I forget.
Oh, it was just too funny.
Yeah.
But that having that out there is so important, because someone like my son at 25, that he's in a 401k and that he is thinking this way and he is involved in learning himself about stocks and bonds and mutual funds and has a financial advisor that he's been working with since it's his best friend's father.
Yeah.
So he's been working with forever. He really kind of gets it. And I know, had I known what he knows when I was his age,
right,
I would have a beautiful nest egg. And
right,
he is going to have money aside, because he looks at it like I look at a savings account, is once it goes in there, it doesn't exist.
Right.
Same thing with putting it in investments, right? Pretty much, unless you're playing with it, right? You have someone like yourself watching it.
Yep.
You review it, what, once a year with your clients?
It depends on what the client wants. Minimally, it should be once a year. You know, if there's something, you know, what, like when this whole environment first took place, I immediately reached out to everybody.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's not something that really should wait. But ultimately, you know, you want to minimally do once a year reviews, because obviously, you know, you have children, there's job changes, life changes.
Sure.
So you always want to be sure that your advisor, whoever you're working with, is aware of that information, because
right,
they're guiding you. You know, they're giving you their hopefully best advice to get your goals based off of today and your wants and needs.
And that's what really differs you from a lot of other financial advisors, because you're consulting. It's more of a consulting. Not only do you do the American Workers, but you also do real estate consulting.
Yep.
And you do, there's another brand of
business owners.
Owners, yeah. Which could be the same, real estate owners and business. Typically, people who have businesses own real estate as well.
Yeah. What's funny is, you know, like at the end of the day, you know, especially when I was putting the whole idea together, a lot of them have very, you know, a lot of it's redundant, you know, like a lot of, you know, we all share very similar goals, right?
Well, I kind of fall in all three categories.
Right, exactly.
I own real estate. I have real estate. I'm a business owner of a couple of businesses. And then, you know, I'm an American worker. So, you know, I'm working with a bunch of people, too. So you do fall across all three categories. But sometimes it's very myopic to like real estate and stuff.
Yep, exactly.
And what do you do with that group of people, with the real estate?
So like I said, like, so obviously there's going to be some areas that are very redundant, you know, from the American working family to the business owner and the real estate investor. At the end of the day, you know, what's important to them? It's, you know, providing for their families, protecting their assets. So for the real estate owner, you know, I've been very lucky throughout my career to kind of be exposed to almost every different facet of financial planning and different investment products that are available out there.
Yeah.
So because of this one investment strategy, I was exposed to working with a lot of real estate investors. And at the end of the day, instead of focusing on, hey, you know, let me know when you want, you know, the box of cereal, it's kind of like, hey, well, you know, let me help you make breakfast type of thing. Like,
yeah, sure.
So, you know, and there was a lot of underlying, I don't want to say issues, but problems that could be solved with just good guidance, right?
Sure.
Because when you're a real estate investor, you want to be protected from liability.
Sure.
So you own buildings. So are you making sure that they're in the right entity structure, right? You know, if you own a building in just your name, God forbid somebody, the God forbid moments, God forbid somebody slips and falls on that property,
yeah,
they can come after you personally. Well, how do we protect
S-Corp.
Your... yeah, yeah. S Corp, LLC, disregarded entity,
yep,
things like that. So how do we protect you from that liability, right? Because not only do we not want you to lose that asset, you just spent a lot of hard money and energy retaining that asset.
Right.
But we also want to protect you personally.
Right.
So, you know, if you own real estate on the side and you're going to work every day, you don't want to see everything melt because of, you know, somebody slipped and fell and they went after you. And at the same time, there's the tax planning, right? It's the same thing, you know? So being able to tell somebody like, hey, you know, just like you can do a rollover with the 401k, well, what if we could do a rollover with your real estate through a 1031 exchange and defer all of your taxes?
Yeah.
And then you incorporate legacy planning and estate planning, because just like the American worker, right, that they might be one of the first generations to go to school. They get a good job. They're, you know, they're earning more money than anybody else in their family has previously. So now they want to build a legacy for their family.
Sure.
Real estate owners want to do the same thing.
Sure.
Instead of leaving a 401k or investment assets, they're leaving behind buildings. So it's making sure that their goals, like when you leave a building behind for your son and daughter, are they going to get what they want? Is your plan accomplishing what you want? So I have different investment strategies and the knowledge and contacts and resources that allow us to address all of that. And I think that's what creates that very unique environment with what we do.
Without a doubt. I have a question here. If they have their own, because you had mentioned tax, if they have their own accountant and other professional servicers, do you work with them or do you, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, no. And so that's a great question. And the answer is absolutely.
Okay.
Because I think it's very important, right? I grew up playing sports and I like to use the sports analogy. And, you know, and I think it's important that everybody works together as a team, right? Everybody has their role. And I always use like the special teams, right? On kickoff.
Sure.
Right? Everybody on a kickoff, for those that don't know, every player out of all 11 players, they have a specific lane that they're responsible for covering.
Absolutely.
Downfield.
Right.
So now if you have one player that goes rogue and he goes out of his lane, well, now you've created an opening for the return guy to come running back.
Right.
So once you go out of that lane and you go out of your role, things can become very chaotic and fall apart. So the answer is yes, I absolutely do work with other professionals.
But are you kind of like, so I know in the medical field, we have like one primary care doctor who gets all the input from all the other doctors if you're going through any kind of crisis or medical situation. So are you kind of like the quarterback for their finances? Can you be that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and I do that a lot.
Because you need one quarterback. You need one person who knows what the game's going to be.
Exactly.
And making sure that everybody's in their lane, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Unlike the Redskins, I'm sorry, the Washington football team this past weekend, not so much. So,
right, exactly.
My boys.
Exactly. Well, and that's the most important thing. So like when I work with my clients, one is I obviously ask who are your other professional contacts,
right,
your accountant, your attorney, and based off of what we're trying to put together, I'll work directly with them, because one is I want to make sure that we're on the same page and I want it to make sense for them.
Sure.
You know, so when, you know, when I reach out to an accountant, it's not an advisor soliciting their business. It's, hey, you know, this is a guy or gal that's genuinely trying to help us create a foundation for our future. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
And then once you get the buy-in of the accountant, it's very easy to implement those things, which is great.
Julie wants to know, what if she doesn't have someone like an accountant? Because She's embarrassed to say she doesn't. Like, do you have power partners or people that you can recommend?
Yep.
To, so you have a whole circle of influence, right?
Yeah, I have a whole circle of influence. Similar to me. Yeah, exactly. You know. And I think you and I were talking about this last time we connected. And, you know, a lot of what I do is not just, you know, sitting in front of the computer and watching things. It's building that network because it's empowering. You know, when a client needs something, you know, I have tax attorneys that could help structure a qualified opportunity zone investment for somebody personally.
Right.
At the same time, I have the estate planning attorney that could help put a power of attorney in place.
Right.
So it really depends on what you need, but it helps make me become more valuable.
Sure.
Because now when you call me, you know that, hey, there's going to be a resource beyond just the conversation and the strategy that's being implemented.
Right.
There's,
well, you're full service.
Right.
And you stay with your clients. Like, once they become your client, as long as they want to stay with you, you go through their life process with it.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
So many of your clients are friends as well, because over the years you've developed these relationships with them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the best part, you know, and I think
that's with mine too. I love that.
Kind of what I enjoy the most. One of the things I enjoy the most about what I do is you get to build that rapport and that relationship, and then you share in those experiences. Yeah. You know, and there was I got a call from a client of mine who was ecstatic, but she had just cleared the final payment of all of her business debt.
Nice.
So it was the first time ever that her business has been debt free. And obviously, as you go through the course of business, you're borrowing, you're generating money and managing that. But it was so humbling to, you know, be thought of. And like that, it was after hours. It was like 5:30, 6 o'clock. And I was outside of my backyard and I got the call. And I'm like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I got to share in the celebration with my client. And to me, that's cool, right?
Yeah.
Because that means that you've positively impacted that person's life.
Without a doubt.
And I think that's so important.
And I talk about finding your purpose, because that's what I help people do is to find their purpose and then go chase it and then find success, right?
Yep.
Because success follows. And once you know what you're here to do and you're so passionate, you are so passionate. When you speak finances, your whole face lights up. Like, everything lights up. And when you successfully help someone, I know that feeling.
Right.
It's just like, it's better than a paycheck. Not that we don't like our paychecks,
right?
But it's better than a paycheck, because it's so fulfilling to be able to help somebody else and watch their success and maybe contribute a little bit towards that. And you contribute a lot to someone's safety, because our finances is really, like, you know how they always say, you know, man's castle. Our finances support that castle.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it allows us to have whatever home we want, or maybe a vacation home, or plan for a vacation home. I know you were speaking to one of your clients recently and they wanted a vacation home, and you're like, okay, well, how are we doing this? How are you putting money away? What are you going to do? It sounded like a conversation I have with my boys, you know. It's like, how are you going to do this? What's your plan? So as a consultant, you're really looking holistically. I like to speak that language. I know maybe you don't, but holistically, you're looking at an individual and taking everything into consideration, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's funny, because I, you know, there was one client, you know, and these are some of the my favorite, like, success stories. There was one client. They're a young couple, and we had connected several years back, and you know, they had some debt that they wanted to pay off, and I'd give them some general guidance, and I'm like, look, you know, there's really nothing. I'll be here for you. I don't ever mind being a resource, especially as a business owner. I think you and I have spoken about this. You know, I'll never discount a conversation. I don't care what. I think it's so valuable, especially as business owners, when you have the opportunity to speak to somebody that genuinely is calling for your help.
Yeah.
You don't know who they know, who they're going to introduce you to, and how you're going to affect their lives.
True.
So I never discount.
And it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I gave them some just, you know, general guidance on debt management. And just this year, they had reached back out and they're like, hey, you know, we did it. You know, we got most of our debt paid off. We have a little bit remaining. But, and it's funny, because I, you know, when having the conversation with them, I kind of saw them react to it. And one of the things I said, I'm like, stop contributing to your 401k.
Right.
And I saw it in their face.
They're like, wait, what?
They're like, did our financial advisor just say, don't contribute to your retirement account? And I'm like, but you have, you know, they successfully transferred a lot of their balances to 0%. So I'm like, pay that off.
Right.
Like, when that period ends, you're getting hit with 25% interest.
Right.
I don't care who you are. You know, I don't care if you're Jim Cramer.
Yeah.
25% in the market's not easy. So if you have 10 grand of credit card debt and you have 10 grand invested, are you net negative on that because you're not paying back your credit card? And
Right.
Your credit card's not being paid off, but your money's invested.
Right.
So you're net negative on the return. And I think like that's where the financial literacy aspect comes in.
Yeah.
And the financial foundation comes in, because I think.
I love that, because we're not taught to think that way. So, yeah, that is kind of bizarre that you would give that kind of advice. But yet it makes the perfect sense when you explain it. So, and I think that's really what differentiates you from a lot of other people, is that they can come in and get consulting.
Right.
That you're really advising, and they do come back. Clients always come back.
Yeah.
People that you help out, they always come back in one way or another. They kind of give back to you. And that's not why you're doing it. You do it because you love what you do. So you do webinars, right?
Yep.
And people could jump on your webinars, right? And you have the financial literacy video series coming, which allows them in a fun way, because you're just fun and you're very approachable, and you take something. I always say you take the scary, scary topic, which is really stressful to a lot of people, and you make it fun, but attainable, and it just makes perfect sense. So you really bring it to a level where everybody can understand it, because I always joke around about the fact that I do marketing. I don't do math, but you know, you really bring it to a level where we can understand it. It makes it easy. It doesn't make it squeamish anymore. It's like, okay, I can do this. So, and I love that you plan that way. It's like, okay, I know you don't have a gazillion dollars. I have clients with a gazillion dollars, but let's get you through. Sometimes those are more fun.
Right. Well, and I think I think it's the puzzle, right? You know, like it's like, oh, well, what are you doing? Like, I'm putting a puzzle together, you know?
Yeah,
like
we're taking
all the little different pieces to put together this eventually beautiful picture. And, and that's the goal. When you do the planning, and that's why, you know, the financial literacy thing, and you know, there was one time I spoke in front of a classroom of high school students, and you know, I joked, and I'm like, you know, and they don't teach about credit cards in high school, and the teacher was like, oh no, we teach them about credit cards. And then she went into this whole spiel about, oh well, what are capital reserve requirements, and it was like, well, you're teaching them like what the banks require to carry in order to issue credit cards. I'm talking about when you're 18 and you get a Visa, a MasterCard, an Apple Bank card in the mail.
Yeah.
What are you doing with it?
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's what's missing, because I did it.
Yeah.
You know, I opened that credit card. I'm like, hey, I'm a student. I got credit. I could buy things.
Yeah, I could buy whatever I want, but you got to pay it back.
And I'm like, I got to pay this back.
Yeah.
Now. And now what do I do? And, you know, and thankfully, I was able to manage it and control it and get it off. But
and if you learn that young, it serves you so well through your adulthood. It really serves you. So we can reach you at RVP2, not the number 2, but the Roman numeral, like II.
Yep.
Consulting.com.
Yep.
So RVP2.
II. Yep.
II Consulting. .com. So if anybody wants to speak to you, have financial questions, or go on your website, which is unbelievable, and the video series coming is great about financial planning and financial literacy, right? And they can definitely take your webinars. How else can they reach out and learn from you? Because you have so much information, and again, just really approachable.
Yeah. So, you know, I would say, you know, the social media, I think, is the obligatory throwout, you know, on Facebook and LinkedIn, because that's kind of where, like, you know, I'll share the articles that I think are very timely. You know, there was one article I just recently shared where Investment News kind of spoke to the advisor body in the country. And they're like, you know, the financial foundation, 3 to 6 months of savings, you know, so starting that basic.
Yeah.
So I share a lot of that information.
And you also have a byline in Long Island Business News,
yep,
too.
Yeah.
I see you
Long
in there.
Long Island Business
often.
News. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, yeah, I publish a lot of stuff in there, which I think is great, because it does address, you know, the financial literacy aspect. Because I think once you can understand how money works, and my father always joked around with that, you know, there's two things that make money: people and money.
That's true. Can't argue with you on that.
So, but once you understand how your money makes you and costs you money,
right,
then you open up your eyes and you're like, okay, well, now how do I make decisions?
Well, you make better decisions. It's a better decision-making process.
Yep.
In the last couple of minutes, and I can't believe time just went flying by. Last couple of minutes, if you had to give one piece of advice to our listeners and you have that chance right now, what would you tell them?
Yeah, so my one piece of advice to everybody listening is, just because it's not in an investment account doesn't mean that it doesn't count for the future. So when you're saving, if you have a big home project, just because it's not in an IRA, the whole, you hear it a lot, pay yourself first.
Yeah.
That can be your savings too. So being liquid and having control of your money is just as powerful as saving for the future, right? Because if you have $50,000, it doesn't matter if it's in an IRA or if it's in a savings account. It's still your money. You still have access to it.
Right.
So I think that's something that gets lost in translation a lot. And that would be my little tidbit drop for everybody listening.
I like that drop. That's good. I'll just add a little bit to that is if you put it in savings, pretend it doesn't exist.
Yep.
Once you put it into savings, it's that rainy day. It's that just in case, pandemic hits, it allows you to have that 3 months or more worth of money in there so that you could survive and get through 3 months, 6 months worth. And I say that again to my boys, it's like, try to have 3 months worth of savings just in case.
Yep,
it
exactly.
usually takes 3 to 6 months to kind of rebound on an individual level and finding another job or what have you. So I love speaking to you about this because I learn something every single time I'm with you. It's you're so good at this and it's so exciting. What's your why? Why do you do what you do?
That's a great question. I think my why is going through it personally. Like I had that stress of having the multiple credit cards with the balances, and you go through that experience of like, okay, what's the next thing I have to tackle in order to give myself that mental freedom? So being able to work with somebody and like getting that phone call, it's being able to sit down with somebody and when they walk away going, hey, my family's protected with life insurance and I have a savings plan and a retirement plan and I'm now comfortable when I wake up tomorrow, knowing that I've relieved some of that stress,
sure.
I think that that's got to be the easiest answer for why I do what I do.
Yeah. And it's just so clear that you love what you do. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you all for joining us today on Healthy Lifestyle with Lorianne. My heart is always lifted by spending this time with you all. And just had a great time today. Thank you again, Roy, for being on. Thank you to our producer, Michael, of course, always being so wonderful back there. Remember, we're here to serve one another. So take a moment, step out of your day and do a little something for someone else. It really makes you feel really good. And one more thing for yourself. It takes 21 days to build a habit, 90 days to build a lifestyle. So start that habit. Start that IRA for 21 days, and then you'll have a lifestyle change in 90. In the meantime, thank you for showing up on Healthy Lifestyle. I'm Lorianne Kasdia. Until next time, play a higher role, serve a higher purpose, show up for you, and show up big. Have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.